Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 4, Text 165, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Balikam
Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Balikam
Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam
Krishnendriya Priti Icha
Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Balikam
Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Balikam
Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam
Krishnendriya Priti Icha Premanam.
Translation: the desire to gratify one's own senses is kama, lust, but the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prema, love. Purport. The revealed scriptures describe pure love as follows. Sarvata dvangsa rahitam satyapi dvangsa karane yad bhava bandhanam yuno saprema parikirtitaha. If there is ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship and yet such a dissolution does not take place, such a relationship of intimate love is called pure. It's called prema. The predominated gopis were bound to Krishna in such pure love. For them there was no question of sexual love based on sense gratification. Their only engagement in life was to see Krishna happy in all respects, regardless of their own personal interests. They dedicated their souls only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. There was not the slightest tinge of sexual love between the gopis and Krishna. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita asserts with authority that sexual love is a matter of personal sense enjoyment. All the regulated principles in the Vedas pertaining to desires for popularity, fatherhood, wealth, and so on are different phases of sense gratification. Acts of sense gratification may be performed under the cover of public welfare. That doesn't sound like sense gratification. Sounds like you're doing something for others, but may be done under the cover of public welfare. Nationalism also seems like you're acting with a broader cause. It's not just for oneself. Religion, altruism. Do you all know what altruism means? You all know? Okay, good. Ethical codes, biblical codes, health directives, fruitive action, bashfulness. Do you all know what bashfulness means? It's a funny word, because the word bash means to bop someone, but bashfulness means something quite opposite, shyness. Tolerance, personal comfort. That's interesting, personal comfort, because it's not directly sense gratification in the sense of exciting the senses, but it just the absence of any disturbance, physical and mental, maybe sense gratification. Sometimes we think someone is very humble, but it's just that they're avoiding difficulty by not living a principled life. (Clears throat) So it's actually the so-called humility is often sense gratification. That one is not arrogant doesn't necessarily mean that he's humble. And we often see that, I've seen many times in our Krishna consciousness movement, someone joins very humble and very lowly, when gradually they become an old devotee, they get some position, and then we see their nature. As the saying goes, power corrupts. Then liberation from material bondage. These are descriptions of covers, different covers for sense gratification. Progress, family affection, or fear of social ostracism or legal punishment. But all these categories are different subdivisions of one substance, sense gratification. This is great, this is Vedic psychology. There's no idea of this in modern psychology. Of course, they may discuss how people, they fear social ostracism. That may be a major factor in people's behavior. Ostracism, do you know what that means? Okay, very good. They may also recognize that we do things for the sake of pleasure. That's also seen in, but what is the actual nature of sense gratification? It's covering of the soul's pure desire to love Krishna. So all such good acts are performed basically for one's, all such good acts, you see, it's good, this is material good, are performed basically for one's own sense gratification. That's why we often see there's a confusion that people think someone is very saintly because they're very good in the material sense. They help the poor, for instance. But goodness in this material world is part of the material energy. It operates on the platform of sense gratification. That's why one of the highest forms of cheating is to present mundane goodness as spiritual. And people who don't know what is spiritual, they accept mundane goodness to be spiritual. Altruism, nationalism. And especially if one has been given knowledge of the actual situation of Krishna consciousness, then it's the highest cheating to present something which actually entangles us in this material world as being spiritual. Of course, we may become more popular by doing so because it's people like that. They think that this is saintly, but it's not actually saintly. It's another phase of sense gratification. And the desire to be popular is mentioned in this list as one of the covers for sense gratification. So all such good acts are performed basically for one's own sense gratification, for no one can sacrifice his personal interest while discharging these much advertised moral and religious principles. But above all, by personal interest here, Srila Prabhupada means one's misconceived personal interest in material existence. But above all, this is a transcendental, it means selfishness. But above all, this is a transcendental stage in which one feels himself to be only an eternal servitor of Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. It's interesting that those who advertise mundane good acts as being spiritual, even if they have knowledge of Krishna, they hide Krishna. This is the transcendental stage in which one feels oneself to be only an eternal servant of Krishna. But you can't bring in Krishna if you're acting on the material platform. It's It's just like sometimes we hear devotees, they go away completely from devotional service and they just try to forget Krishna altogether. This is in the Western world especially. Because if they remember Krishna, then you can't enjoy sense gratification. So in the same way, those who are promoting mundane acts as being spiritual, they have to hide away Krishna, because once Krishna is there, then all these mundane acts of so-called goodness, it seemed to be absurd. So, all acts performed in the sense of servitude are called pure love of God because they are performed for the absolute sense gratification of Sri Krishna. However, any act performed for the purpose of enjoying its fruits or results is an act of sense gratification. Such actions are visible sometimes in gross and sometimes in subtle forms. Yeah, if you hide away Krishna, then where does all the attention go to? It goes to the person who's promoting all these things. Gurudas Prabhu already left for the farm?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm speaking on this subject after hearing something he's told me yesterday, which has been going on in my mind. This is practically the most important statement in all of the Vedic literature. Of course, many people don't accept Chaitanya Charitamrita as Vedic literature, but it actually is the summation of all the Vedas, even though it's not in Sanskrit. You should all learn this verse. Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Vale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. Very simple. The point is philosophically very simple to understand. It's clearly a philosophical statement. It comes in the chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describing the love of the gopis for Krishna. And it comes in the description of the gopis' love for Krishna, which is the... Well, it's beyond the goal of life. General goal of life is dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna bishaya prema param purushartha jar age trina tulla chari purushartha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the highest goal of human life is prema, centered on Krishna, with Krishna as the subject. And in comparison to this, this dharma, artha, kama, moksha seems insignificant, like a piece of grass. Now, often, devotees like to hear talks of the gopis' prema, despite many warnings from Srila Prabhupada. Now that so many books of Ashtakalya Lila and so on are translated, devotees are not considering their eligibility, or rather ineligibility, and not concerned with Prabhupada's warnings. They think that refers to someone else. They're discussing all these topics. But actually this gopi katha is gopan katha. Gopan means hidden or secret. You say that in Hindi? Gopan? Gopni. Gopaniya. Yeah, well, the same. Gopan, gopaniya. So this verse defines What is prema? Very simply. And other verses in this section describe it in more detail, how it's actually manifested in the character of the gopis. But it means the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. And it is distinguished from kama, mundane desire. In the verse previous to this, it's been stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita here, kama prem duha ka bibhinna lakhan loha ar hema joiche sharup bilakhan. Lust and love have different characteristics, just as iron and gold have different natures. So iron and gold are very similar in many ways, but the dissimilarity is important. To understand the dissimilarity is essential. It's of a different... They both have similar qualities, but on the other hand, the gold is of a different quality to that of iron. Both... more than both. It's in terms of its chemical composition, in terms of its usage, in terms of its symbolism, in terms of its value. Gold is, you know, always superior. Well, iron has some uses which in some ways would be better than gold. So I guess just like if you want to make something, a razor blade, it would be better to use iron and steel rather than gold, which is too soft. But then we can say that, calm also has its uses. If you want to stay in this material world, it also has its usage. So by considering this, what is material desire and what is pure spiritual desire, we can, if we are somewhat honest, as we should be in our devotional service, we can understand where we're at. What is our position? Do we still have material desire? This topic of karma is much discussed in Bhagavad Gita. We don't find in the Bhagavad Gita the word prema, but we do find the word karma. Karma is analyzed quite a lot, considering the Bhagavad Gita is only 700 verses and covers many topics. The subject of karma is covered quite a lot, both how karma is the, at the end of the third chapter, karma, material desire, binds us in this material world. How it takes us to hell at the end of the 16th chapter. And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, kama raga vivarjitam, how being free of it is the, that means that one becomes, that's actually what liberation means. Liberation means to become free of material desire. So it's covered quite a lot, especially at the end of the third chapter, where Krishna describes as the enemy of self-realization. It covers our knowledge. So, generally, someone studying this Chaitanya Charitamrita, they would have, especially at the time of Krishnadas Kaviraj, many of the students of Chaitanya Charitamrita, they would already be well steeped in the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So when they come across the word karma, they understand its implications. Of course, karma here being described in relation, specifically in relationship to the gopis' prema, gopis' pure love for Krishna, we can understand the word karma can mean desire in general and sexual desire in particular. So this usage as sexual desire is particularly applicable here, because the gopis' love for Krishna is sexual desire. but it's not mundane sexual desire. And it's very difficult for us, as long as we have attachment to mundane sexual desire, so it's very difficult for us to understand what is pure sexual desire. When we say that the gopis lusted after Krishna, they desired sexual union with Krishna. It's a love affair. It's very difficult for us to understand, because we can only think of this. We can only ideate this in terms of mundane sex desire. So this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, an essential point to understand, it can only be understood by persons who have grounding in the topics of Gita and Bhagavatam. It is on the platform of Abhidheya, more on the platform of Abhidheya. It's to be understood by persons who have already accepted or understood the Sambandha Jnana, of understanding that we are all servants of Krishna, that is our eternal relationship, and who aspire to enter into the world of Prayojana, the ultimate goal of life, pure love of Krishna. So this verse, Atendriya Priti Vanchatare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Ichadhare Premana Dhare Premana. This is to keep us on track in the line of Abhideya, of devotional service in practice. We have to develop the consciousness of prema. What does that mean? Does that mean we shall think about how we are dressing Krishna and arranging for Radha and Krishna? Well, yes, if one's eligible, one will certainly have the opportunity to do that. But first, the attitude has to be correct, that we're acting only for the pleasure of Krishna, Radha Krishna. Or in other forms also, there's also Krishna's also in Mathura, Dwaraka, Sitaram. It's the same principle. In the spiritual world, one acts for the pleasure of Krishna. And those in the spiritual world, they all act only for the pleasure of Krishna, but still there's a gradation. Even though, for instance, Hanuman is completely, fully surrendered to Rama, there's no trace in his character of anything ever, of any slight hint of his own personal desire. He's completely absorbed in pleasing Rama, but still the gopis, their attitude is the same, but it's more intense. Even though Hanuman's love for Rama is unlimited, but that of the gopis, if we are to see through the eye of Shastra, especially Brihad Bhagavatamrita, through Krishna himself in the Bhagavatam states, the gopis, are the, their love for me is incomparable. So this verse will be our this a bridge between Sambandha, understanding our position as servants of Krishna, and Prayojana, and actually entering into that relationship. This will be the bridge, or the guide. This is the guide, how we are to execute devotional service. Now, I'd said that I was inspired to speak on this after something I discussed yesterday with Gurudas Prabhu, who's just left now, that in the area he's preaching, there are a group of devotees who are ISKCON devotees. They don't come to the ISKCON temple much because they find it a bit stiff and rigid. And their idea is that, well, we are householders And we'll just be happy in bhakti. And we're not concerned with all this different philosophical talk so much. You may say it's Mishra Bhakti. We're not concerned with all this Mishra Bhakti and all this. And we just like to come together and be friends together and chant Hare Krishna together and be happy. And what's all this? And we're householders, we have to be realistic. If we follow all these rules so much, then it's very difficult for us in society and our friends and relatives. Be very difficult with them. So we're just realistic. We live in the world and we follow the basic principles of Krishna consciousness and we're happy like that. And we don't feel very comfortable with all this. When we go to the temple, it's all this philosophical discussions and Bhagavad Gita and all this. But when we come together, we like to chant and we hear some stories and we have some jokes. And that's all right for us. We may not go back to Godhead in this life, but that's for the brahmacharis. It's not for us. So this verse, Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam, Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. This is essential, one of the most quoted verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another essential verse, another of the most quoted verses is Siddhanta Balaya Chitte Nakaraha Alash Yaha Hoite Krishna Lage Sudhira Manash. That one should not be lazy in the matter of understanding Siddhanta, the proper conclusions of devotional service, for by doing so, one's mind will become very strongly attached to Krishna. So what is that Siddhanta? Well, the essence of this Siddhanta is Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhari Prema. That is the essence of the Siddhanta. But how that manifests in various ways and how we are to understand different statements of Shastra and how we are to act in our life, this all has to be guided by Siddhanta, which is given by the acharyas, especially Jiva Goswami has given all the Siddhantas. But then the acharyas in each generation, they explain that and they exemplify that to their disciples. Which is, again, a reason why this Ritvikism is a completely nonsense idea, because the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, one has to see it exemplified. One has to follow the example and be guided. And it's also people may say, well, guru system is bogus and this and that. But it's also if simply initiating disciples without guiding them, that's also meaningless. So either way, it's a rubber stamp. Although the Ritvik rubber stamp is, it's a counterfeit rubber stamp. So Siddhanta, especially the acharyas, first of all, they have to establish what is the Siddhanta, what is the proper understanding, because the tendency of the conditioned soul is to veer always toward karma. This point that we are meant to satisfy Krishna, it's very philosophically very easy to understand, but it's very difficult for the conditioned soul to understand. Just can't get it. Just can't understand it because it just doesn't seem to make any sense. I'm here, I've the senses, and they're to be enjoyed. And my own self-interest, well, that is the main thing. Actually, even in Shastra, it states why do we do anything? We do it for the sake of the self. Why do we marry and have sons and all? So many things stated both in the Upanishads and in Srimad Bhagavatam. So yes, but then one should understand Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mana Shashtani Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. Yes, we are interested in ourselves, but why are we interested in ourselves? The Bhagavatam gives the fuller meaning, which is not given in the Upanishads, because we're part and parcel of the Supreme Self who is Krishna. But in this material world, forgetting Krishna, we're struggling with the senses, and the mind. So this siddhanta, this should be understood, but for devotees who like devotional service, but they like it from the platform of karma, personal desire, for them siddhanta is a disturbance. They think all this talk is just too much. We just want to love Krishna. But you can't, the point is that we can't love Krishna if we're thinking, what's in it for me? That's the same problem as the modern family, so-called wedded life. Why is it that all over the world people get married and they divorce, whereas previously it didn't happen, hardly at all? Because previously, marriage, which is the perverted reflection of Krishna's, it's the perverted reflection of Krishna's activities with his lovers in the spiritual world, when it's enacted on the platform of dharma, it's an interface between karma, personal desire, and dharma. One should get married as a matter of dharma to produce sons who can offer pinda, putrate, kriyate, bharya, putra. What is that? Pinda, what is them? Putrate, priyate, bharya, putra, pinda, prayojanam. So Manu says that one should accept a wife for the sake of producing sons. Pinda putra prayo. Sons are required so they can offer pinda. They can offer, make offerings to the forefathers. It's also required to give protection to women. So it's a matter of dharma, but it's also a matter of karma. Otherwise, there's no need for getting married. The dogs and cats don't have marriage. They simply gratify their desire. So it's an interface between duty, religious duty, and personal desire. And that's understood all over the world, in every culture, whether it's Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, Jew, some tribal religion or whatever. There's marriages there. Of course, among the lower classes, they may not put so much importance on it. But marriage is there, the idea there is responsibility. But in the modern world, there's only the emphasis only on karma, not on responsibility. And karma disappoints. And therefore, I'm just doing this book on women masters or mothers, and I remembered one of the most popular songs in my childhood, which we used to hear all the time, so I looked it up on the internet. Please release me, let me go. What's the next line? Please release me, let me go. Let me love again, something. I can't remember it now. To waste our life would be a sin. So release me, my lover, let me love again. So that was a major influence in the 1960s, where people started thinking of free sex and free love and all this kind of thing. That, okay, we love each other, but please release me, let me go, for I love you not anymore. I don't love you anymore. It means there was no love, it was all lust. So let me go and marry someone else. Because calm is prime, there's no sense of responsibility. There's no sense of dharma. So the idea that we can just love Krishna without accepting the understanding of what it actually means to love Krishna, and what are the practices that Krishna has given us so that we can become free from mundane desire and develop or uncover that pure desire. If we think, that's all gyan, we're interested in bhakti. That's what Sahaja said about Jiva Goswami, very offensively, because Jiva Goswami said this. By the way, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. But then the Sahaja will say, no, we don't love that Krishna. We love Krishna in Vrindavan. But Krishna comes, then we may say, well, what are you doing in this material world? Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarga yanti parantapa. We're in this material world because of icha. Icha is a synonym of karma, material desire, that transforms into dvesha, We desire, everyone else also desires materially, so we come in competition. I want to be the supreme enjoyer. No, I'm the supreme enjoyer. And then there's hatred. Therefore, we make nationalism. We make groups to bash other groups. We're the Indians, and we'll smash Pakistan and make it into a dharma yuddha, and from the other side they'll call it jihad. And it's all animalism, all on the basis of the bodily concept. That's Machiavellian politics. Machiavelli is an author of a highly influential book called The Prince. It's a well-known term, Machiavellian politics. It means that to keep the citizens, when you're ruling a state, to keep the citizens united and not making politics against you, the ruler, you always have to have an outside enemy, which unites them all together. So war has to go on in this material world, because without wars, the people, the rulers, they can't keep their own citizens united. If they're not fighting against someone outside, they'll be fighting against him. So you need to have a war going on all the time. Divert their attention away. So we're in this material world because of this perverse mentality of wanting to enjoy it. Therefore, Krishna comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita, and he demonstrates his beautiful pastimes. Also, but if we think that we can just jump in to the pastimes without going through the process, which is given by Krishna, which is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who also spoke philosophy, by the way, who deputed his devotees and who had come from him with the spirit, come with him from the spiritual world, he deputed them to write books describing the pastimes of Krishna, describing the qualities of bhakti, and philosophical ones also. Rupa Goswami, philosophically, that means on the basis of Shastra, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, established the topmost position of pure devotional service. He also wrote books like Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which is the philosophical foundation of Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is pastimes, but it has a philosophical message also. Of course, in pure reality, philosophy and pastimes, there's no division between them. Jiva Swarupai Krishna Nityadas, the Jiva is the eternal son of Krishna, has actually lived and enacted on the platform of the highest transcendence. But we're not there, that's the point. And to imagine that we're not, to imagine that we are there, it won't help us to get there. We have to go through the process given by Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to go there. And Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, via Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, says, Siddhanta Balaya Chitte Na Kara Halash, Eha Hoite Krishna Lage Suri Ramanash. So we have to understand the Siddhanta. Also, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Doyar Kata Koroha Bicha Bicha Korele Chitte Pabe Jamatka. Just see, consider what is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we consider, then we'll be astonished. But then what is that mercy? His mercy isn't that his mercy is Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurdvishe Namaha. His mercy is that he gives the highest love of Godhead, Krishna Prema. That is his mercy. But then how does he give it? Just by seeing him, some people became overcome with Krishna Prema. But his general process is Atantar dulabha prema karibare dan shikhai sharanagati bhakatera pran. His method of giving prema, extremely rare prema, is to teach the process of sharanagati, which begins with anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam to accept that which is favorable for devotional service and to reject that which is not. And then we have to understand. Then we have to understand that what is favorable, what is unfavorable. There are rules and regulations which tell us do this, don't do that. But we also have to understand it. We have to understand the principle. We have to understand it and internalize it. Because not every situation is mentioned in Shastra. That's not possible. Just like we may have to make a decision. Should I get married or not? Should I join the temple as a brahmachari? So he may. Then we have to consider the individual. Is it suitable for him to do so or not? In some cases, it may not. Generally, we'll say yes. If you're young, you're unmarried, and you have the desire to be Krishna conscious, yeah, join the temple. Even if you're not going to remain brahmachari throughout your life, at least take some training before you enter family life. But for some people, we say no. You're not fit for. You don't have enough sense control or determination. You're not physically healthy enough. There may be various reasons not to do so. So we have to understand this philosophy so it can be applied in life. And that also we have to take help from Guru and the Vaishnavas to apply this understanding in life. Without this understanding, then if we think, well, we'll just be happy in Krishna consciousness. But if we don't understand that the happiness of the jiva, which is elaborately explained here in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the gopis, their happiness comes from Krishna's happiness. So unless we understand that we want to be happy, okay, but our happiness comes from Krishna's happiness. Unless we understand that, then our so-called bhakti will degrade. And we may be talking topics of bhakti, but there will, because the bhakti here, the whole list is given here of acts of sense gratification may be performed under the cover of, so it may be also performed under the cover of devotional service, that's stated here, religion. So it may be that we're actually seeking sense gratification in the name of performing devotional service. It may be that we desire dhanam, janam, sundarim, labh, puja, pratishta. All these, dhana means money, jana means following, to become popular, famous. Sundari means to be attractive to beautiful women, or maybe not even beautiful, just something female and human. Dana, labha, puja, pratishta, to be, to get money, to be honored, to have a position, and then it becomes in the material, just like among materialists, they're all jostling with each other, how they can be bigger and better. There may be through bhakti, among someone, just like in the material world, in any field, someone becomes the best. He becomes the most respected in the football. The best footballer becomes the most respected. So in bhakti, he may say, well, I have to show him the biggest bhakta. I give the best classes. I'm the most austere. I distribute more books. I chant more rounds. I have more disciples. So, and I wrote my autobiography, which showed what a great devotee I am. And in this way, we have to show we're better than others. It's mundane. And then as the same as among mundane people who have no idea or interest of Krishna consciousness, they'll be fighting amongst each other. So it's high talk and absolutely Kanishta mentality. You never make any advancement because no interest to practice Krishna consciousness seriously. It must degrade. It must degrade like that. Among such devotees, they won't They won't recommend that you study Prabhupada's books carefully, you hear Prabhupada's lectures, because if you do, then you'll get a completely different idea. You can't regularly read Prabhupada's books and maintain an attitude of, I want to enjoy this material. I mean, we do try very hard, but it's just too much. And Prabhupada's stronger than us. The spiritual energy is stronger than the material energy. So if we actually read these books, and it's, what is it? Chintyate hridaya grantis. Kshiyante hridaya grantis. Chidyante sarva sangsha. It just cuts through all material attachments and all the wrong ideas. So if we have a habit of regularly reading those books and listening to Prabhupada's lectures, it'll just upset all our material life. And so we find that among these committedly neophyte, supposed to be devotees, they won't recommend that you study. They may make some course based on Prabhupada's books, but it's not the same, because they take out the points which they think are important, and they leave out all the nasty parts, which is about 90% of it, I guess. Or how we have to surrender to Krishna, how we have to give up all desires for sense gratification, and you can't maintain the consciousness of just being happy in Krishna consciousness on our own terms and conditions, because it just doesn't work like that, and Prabhupada doesn't teach that at all. But we see that everywhere in our movement, it's becoming more and more. I'm hearing this from all over the place. Just our young friend from Russia here told me that his mother, who's my disciple, she sent me a question: should I go to the temple or not? Because in the temple we feel so strange, that it's not Krishna conscious as it used to be. The kirtans are strange, the lectures, half the time the person giving the lecture is wearing kami clothes and just talking all kinds of things, got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So we don't know what to do. I mean, we want to go to the temple, but then when we go there we don't want to go. So what should we do? So that's coming everywhere. The idea that don't practice Krishna consciousness very seriously. Just have faith in the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives his mercy. We should take it the way he gives it, not the way that we think that he should give it. Hey, listen here. Nimai, you made them. You know all these rules and regulations. Come on, you don't know what you're doing. I'll give you a better idea. You yourself said Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. So what are you telling us all these rules and philosophy? And come on, you're not Mahava than I. I've got a better idea. And then you have in Bangladesh so many bogus avatars. I regularly used to have an argument with one of the... he's actually very helpful to us. He's passed away now. One gentleman, the Hindu gentleman, who had contacts in the Bangladesh government, even though he was a Hindu, but... anyway, I won't go into his life history. But he said this: there's one of the many so-called avatars in Bangladesh. You see, there's not much communication between the different places, so you need an avatar for each local area. It's not like the internet age where you can be Jagat Guru via the internet. But in a certain, every locality has its own avatar. So he said, you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mostly dealt with all the high-class people. So this one, so-and-so, he dealt with all the low-class people. Anyway, I don't want to say it's so offensive. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't get? He didn't give all these rules. He just had everyone chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol,
Haribo, 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 Haribo. And they all have long hair and they shake their head and they can go on for days like this. Not recommended, but I'm just... I've seen all the upper sampradayas in Bangladesh, and they're all bogus. So I have an inbuilt upper sampradaya. What is it? Upper sampradayamita. So why is that? Because they why they have all these wrong ideas? Because they don't want to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They want to have a semblance of following, but they're not actually very serious to attain this Krishna prema. The idea that, well, we have to make it easy, otherwise people won't come. Yeah, maybe. If Prabhupada had made it easier, maybe more people would come. When Prabhupada was preaching in America, there are many, in comparison to his own followers, there are many more followers of an avatar of Krishna who came from, I think, Himachal Pradesh, who was popular in America at the time. Guru Maharaji, Bal Yogeshwar, some house in Bharuch or somewhere we went, and they have his picture there. You didn't even recognize it because he's a retired avatar, but he was very popular. He was only a young boy, 14 years old, something like that. And they said he's Krishna. And no philosophy. When our devotees try to speak to them, they say, no, you don't speak. Don't speak all this. No, it's all, you have to experience it, that's all. So he convinced many people that he is Krishna. I think he doesn't have any followers left in America at all now, but he made his money and came back. Didn't have the staying power. But if Prabhupada, he could have also given something bogus and had many more followers. But his aim was not to make followers. His aim was to execute the order of his guru and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to preach Krishna consciousness. Followers, yes. He wanted followers who would follow the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he didn't. His aim was not first and foremost to make followers. His aim first and foremost was to establish what is to be followed, then we'll see if they're followers. But to make followers, and they don't... But what do they follow? They follow their own mind. They follow their own material desire. Then that's meaningless. And then you can... If you want followers, then you can preach communism or Harry Potter or... so many. It's much more popular than Krishna consciousness. But the aim is not to make followers per se. The aim is to give the knowledge of give the knowledge and the process of Krishna consciousness by which people can be benefited, and simply to increase the numbers without people accepting Krishna consciousness as it is. It doesn't fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it will end up like all these upper sampradayas. And in fact, you could say it is. Already, for instance, Prabhupada would criticize these so-called gurus and swamis who had unmarried women with them, or maybe married and also married to someone else. What is that? Nake tila golai mala e kolya chela. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Sometimes they represent Bhaktivinoda. He was very nice, but Bhaktisthani was very heavy. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said all the same things, only Bhaktisthana Saraswati propagated it more. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that you have nake tilak, you have on your nose, you have tilak, on your neck you have a tulsi mala, and but you're a servant of Kali, you're not a servant of Krishna. And then what is that? I can't remember his name. Kole pare bala, on your knee you've got someone else's wife. So that's more like the Prakriti Sahajiyas mixed up with Tantra. They have in Tantra, all over India it's there. Not so much here, in Kerala more than Tamil Nadu. Bengal, Orissa, Kerala, these are Assam. That's the main place of Tantra, even now. Kamakha Devi. So that's one of the principles in tantric sadhana, you have to have someone else's wife. And if you become more advanced, then you get female dead body. That's the, anyway. So that idea that you take some, in this Prakriti Sahajya, they'll take someone else's wife. They have some sexual enjoyment. Krishna, he's enjoying, we should also enjoy. Because no one's saying that exactly yet now, but we have something going on in our movement, something like that. Not every sannyasi, but some sannyasis have de facto wives. How can that go on if we're actually taking the philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness very seriously? Divorce and remarriage is considered completely normal. But according to Shastra, that cannot be. Prabhupada writes maybe the most hated statement in all of Prabhupada's books. I'm not sure whether it's the one of, by his disciples. And I'm not sure whether it's the one about actually a woman likes a man who's very expert in rape, or the one that a woman should not remarry and thus indulge in prostitution. That's another one of the statements of Prabhupada which we're not supposed to say. Whoops, I just said it. Anyway. I'm supposed to say what Prabhupada says. It's not the kind of thing we're going to go around and talk all the time, but we should see in our movement it's considered right. So I'm just giving these as some examples how, when we're not clear on this principle, atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, that personal desire is not Krishna consciousness, that binds us in this material world. Therefore we have to follow the path of Dharma. In these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I was quoting from these, from his Bawal Sangeet. He's Dharma Pate Thaki. He's talking, you should stay on the path of Dharma. There's no question of going to higher levels. If we can't, that was completely rejected among the followers by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur. You cannot, don't talk about or think about or have anything to do with the inner pastimes of Krishna if you can't live like a gentleman in this world. So divorce and remarriage means you're marrying someone else's wife. But you can't do that because matrivat paradareshu, one has to see the wife of someone else's one's mother, and there's no such thing as divorce in Vedic culture, so how can it be done? Actually, in some Dharma Shastras, there are some allowances for that. For instance, if a girl is married and before the consummation her husband dies, she can remarry. So there may be some cases. Maybe the marriage is considered complete with consummation. You know what consummation means? It means when they have sex, husband and wife, for the first time. So Prabhupada, he made some adjustments, but he didn't adjust the basic principles, and he didn't adjust the basic philosophy. He did make some radical changes. For instance, having boys and girls, as he called them, serve together, but he got them married. And gradually he wanted to introduce Vanashram, means the traditional, Indian culture. We say it's not really Indian, it's Krishna's culture, but we say Indian because it historically it's been practiced in India. He wanted to introduce that. Otherwise, it's very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. If we are not in that culture which leads us toward Krishna, Varnashram is to help us to come to Krishna, if it's properly followed, Daiva Varnashram Dharma. Not the caste system. If it's properly followed, that helps to regulate our life in such a way that we come to Krishna. But if we try to follow the path of this material, the modern society, marry, divorce, do what you like, whenever you like, however you like, define your own standards, define your own morality, then how are we going to be Krishna conscious? Because the whole modern civilization is based on sense gratification. So it's not, it's the whole modern civilization is a blockage to becoming Krishna conscious. I just, when I was writing on this book, how Prabhupada wanted to introduce Varnashram, most of our devotees don't know because we don't talk about it in our movement. That's, if you read the books, then you'll understand. But then if you don't read the books, then you will never understand. Or if you read the books, then you may think, well, Prabhupada talked about Varnashram, but, and then just, okay, what's the next page? Just like you told me that you were in class in Vrindavan and this verse came up, in which this purport is there, that women actually like a man who's very expert in rape, and this sannyasi giving the class said, well, this is something controversial, and then he just talked about something completely different. He just avoided it. They're embarrassed by Prabhupada's statements. It's very, very inauspicious that they are embarrassed like that. So Prabhupada gradually made higher standards. So yesterday I was thinking about this and I thought of this analogy that if we hear Prabhupada, his kirtans, he'll start slowly and gradually increase the speed. So those who are playing kartals and mridanga and singing along with him, they also have to increase the speed. But if they don't notice that he's increased the speed and they go on playing and singing at the same speed, then they'll be out of sync. And they may say, well, we did it and Prabhupada was there and he approved it. But they didn't notice that Prabhupada had changed the speed. So it seems like many of our devotees say, well, Prabhupada, he had all the women and men all mixed up together and this and that. But they didn't notice that Prabhupada actually spoke about Varnashram and bringing up the standards, and then says, no, I was there, and Prabhupada was there, and he liked it. And yeah, okay, but you have to see, things change. Prabhupada was moving toward a higher standard. Those who talk about a higher standard, they are called by others smartas. And those who don't follow, they're called, who don't like to follow, those who follow, they call them sahajiyas. So who's who and what's what? No, both are disparaging terms. What is it then? Siddhanta balya chitte na karaha alash. Yaha hoite krishna lage suri ramanash. Those who present that, well, we should have the women should do the same thing as men and it should all be the same within ISKCON. They say, see Prabhupada, what his personal example is. They privilege Prabhupada's personal example over his instructions in his lectures and books. But actually it should be around the other way. That Prabhupada in his personal, he allowed certain things, but he told us where we should be going to. So we should understand that he has established that Varnashram is the actual human culture. So if Prabhupada made adjustments to the non-human culture of the West, cat and dog culture, as Prabhupada called it, then that doesn't mean that that's an eternal sacred principle, but it's just that we were so subhuman that Prabhupada made that adjustment to let us, to just to get us into Krishna consciousness. But that doesn't mean that it becomes an eternal principle overriding all the shastras and all the acharyas. Because we were so uncultured. So these things should be discussed in other examples. So Odra Maharaj gave we may want to get somewhere very fast, so we drive a vehicle very quickly. So we may get there very quickly, but at the same time, that's not the standard thing to do. An ambulance may drive very quickly because we have to get to the hospital quickly. But if there's not an emergency, then the ambulance should drive at the normal speed. And by driving quickly, you're also increasing the risk of further accident. So in normal circumstances, you follow all the regular rules. So that's another example that can be given. Hare Krishna. Acharya Mata Jai, She Mata Shah, She Mata Longi Chale, She To Asha. This should be considered. The opinion of the Acharya, That is the essence of all spiritual life. Those who transgress that, they are useless. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Yes, please.
Saying something which was not based on Siddhanta, so I tried to say to him that we should understand everything based on Siddhanta, and his reply was, we are foolish, we are born foolish, and he quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Guru More Murkh Mani Karile Sasan and Murkh Tumi Tumar Nai Vedanti Adhikar.
Oh, someone quoted to you that we are foolish, and he quoted, when you said that we should follow Siddhanta, he quoted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru said to him, Murkha tumi tomar nahik vedanta dika Krishna mantra japa shada shei mantra sha. E mantra sha. So he said we should only chant Hare Krishna. This is his proposition. Because we're all foolish. Well, we see, yes, that means he studied somewhat. Did he? When he read this, did he stop studying? He stopped there. Yeah. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Siddhanta Balaya Chitta Na Kara Alash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, having said this, having related this to the Mayavadis of Varanasi, showed his absolute mastery of Vedanta philosophy. So yeah, I've actually made quite a few pages of notes on that on my Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary, which I'll probably have to come back in another lifetime to do, because I'm not going to have lifetime, I'm not going to have time, but I've written a lot on that. Pages and pages of notes on this verse, more than any other. The idea being that Vedanta, to enter into all these discussions, we have neither of Vedanta. What is it? Tattvamasi. This is Vedanta. Tattvamasi. Big discussion. Prajnanam Brahma, this woman in Palachi, she quoted this Prajnanam Brahma, these four Mahavakyas that Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, Tattvamasi, and one other, Shankaracharya gave. So to discuss, just this Tattvamasi, this discussion of that goes back and forwards, and then examining grammatically, and then the Buddhists reject it all, and then anyway. You can go round and round in circles. So chant Hare Krishna. But then we should also study the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Bhashanam Brahma Sutranam. It is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutra. Brahma Sutra means the commentary on the Vedanta. Or the, and the very fact that he's putting that as a proposition to you means that he's also putting forward a Siddhanta. So you can't avoid it. If you say we're not interested in philosophy, well, that's a philosophy also. You can't avoid it. Shraddhamayo yang purusha. Everyone in this world has Shraddha. In my comments, my Bhagavad Gita commentary, which I think I might get around to in this life, I say that this word Shraddha in this context could be translated roughly into English as worldview. Yo yad Shraddha sa eva saha. So everyone has some outlook on life. Even if they say I have no outlook on life, I'm just go through life. Well, that's also one kind of outlook. That's tamasic. Do not consider anything philosophically, is tamasic. But it's also, it's just at the edge of being a philosophy. And there are many people who say like that, just get on with life. Just don't worry about all these things, just get on with life. Be here now. These are all, that's hippie philosophy. Be here now. Forget about, just do what you're doing here. But that's so stupid. I mean, even the animals are more intelligent. The animals, they make provision. They build a nest once the female gets pregnant, and they build a nest. So they have more intelligence than someone who says, be here now, without any concern for the next moment. So yeah, he Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru warned him against getting caught up in philosophical intricacies and not being focused on the actual goal of life. Shabda jala maharanyam kevala chitta brahmanam, said Shankaracharya, who wrote so many books of philosophy, that words, it's like a big net or a big forest which simply makes the mind agitated. And yoga, what is yoga? Yoga chitta nirodha. Yoga is meant for nirodha, can mean to stop the mind. Or here, chitta can be understood to be the chitta shruta, the flow of the thoughts. So nirodha means stop or to subdue. In Jamnagar, someone quoted that, right? Do you remember that? In the Ayurvedic college, someone quoted that, yoga chitta nirodha. That's the beginning of the Yoga Sutras. Defines what is yoga. So I said, well, that's not, it doesn't mean to stop the consciousness. That's not possible to stop the consciousness. So it should be understood differently. But so you can't avoid, you may say that, well, we're not interested in philosophy. But there has to be some kind of philosophy. We have to judge. That's one difference between an animal and a human. We have to make decision. What is right and what is wrong? What should be done and what should not be done? Otherwise, that's adharmam dharmam iti ya manyase tamasavrita. People are covered by the mode of ignorance. They cannot distinguish between what should be, what is proper and what is improper. And one simply goes down to animal level. So you can say like that. But people who say like that, their position is matena krishne paratasvatova mitobi padyeja grihamrata. They're avoiding the actual process of Krishna consciousness, and they're, in the name of Krishna consciousness, they just want to go on in sense gratification. That's what it comes down to. It doesn't mean that they're very serious to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's just some excuse to avoid following him.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Hare Krishna.